News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan, Dalton Arwig. Dalton described this as our second Monday of the week.
So that's kind of a cynical way to look at it.
It's kind of like we got a day off yesterday. Now the weekend is closer than ever. But you were talking about it's hard to get back in the saddle and do this after a day off. You had a day with the girls. And you know, our days were completely different. We took the day off Fat Tuesday. They could not have started any differently. And then in the end, mine was more traditional Mardi Gras, where I did go downtown for the KORs at the end of the day. I wasn't in there all day, but I went down for that late afternoon reception, I guess you would call it, and saw a lot of folks. It was a good time. Day started rough because I had my alarm set, woke up at 3:30, and was like, son of a gun. You have to go anywhere.
You get one day.
You get the day, and then you blow it.
Exactly.
So then I just turned it into a Facebook post and had a lot of people remarking on that, and then because I'm sure I wasn't alone in setting the alarm on a day where I had the day off, but maybe I was nearly completely alone in that it was at 3:30 in the morning.
3:30, yeah. No, I ended up doing the whole, bachelor dad yesterday with my wife having to go to work, so I watched the kids. We had went out and had a play date with some friends of theirs, and then we went out to eat and, had a pretty low-key, laid-back day. So I didn't make it down to any parades. Missed the Comet Cowboys, but that's one thing about the Comet Cowboys is if you miss their parade, there will be about five or six news websites that have a picture of every single sign that the Comet Cowboys put up. And I think that's kind of become, you know, for as good as a journalist Jeff Poor is, and he's the best out there, especially when it comes to state politics. And today he very well may be back in Montgomery for session today. But he's kind of taken it upon himself here to be the best Comet Cowboy coverer around.
The curator of all things Comet Cowboy.
Yeah, you'll get these other news sites that have pictures of most of the floats, most of the signs on the floats, but Jeff gets every single one of them. And the Comet Cowboys signs yesterday, some of them pretty good. A couple jokes lobbed at the AHSAA. That was a pretty funny one. AHSAA says you can't play with your privates in public.
that was really
pretty
good.
Funny.
That was funny. It's basically a St. Paul's player there in the blue and the red.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
a lot of Spiro jokes, and I didn't think any of them really cross the line.
No.
I guess that's up to the interpreter, but they did have several signs to welcome the new mayor, Spiro.
See the one where Simpson is like shaking his hand, like handing off the duties to him, and he says, good luck with the rent sucker.
Yeah, he's leaving him with the rent problem.
Yeah.
Mud dumping in the bay isn't new. Fairhope's been doing it for years, so some swipes taken at cities along the eastern shore. Even hitting A.J. McCarron, one of those signs, I thought was kind of one of the toughest there for a local. Said A.J.'s political career almost as short as his NFL career.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a low blow there. Amtrak they had on there. So I thought some good stuff from the Comet Cowboys. Like Dan, like you said earlier, we can't exactly read every single one of them.
Yeah, but what I'll do is I'll come up with a number because
the McGregor Roundabout, that one's a tough one to read on the air.
Yeah, what percentage of the Comet Cowboys were happy to put on a sign that was seen by anybody and everybody, regardless of age. How many of those could we actually not say on the air?
Yeah.
There's a few of them.
Probably 15%.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. How about Dauphin Way Baptist, emptier than a Somali daycare? Did you see that sign?
No. Which is, that's good.
Kind of accurate right now. They even have Elmo, who looks like he is at 65 and exit 1 there, begging for money with a sign. It says PBS funding cuts hard, and you have Tickle Me Elmo with a sign that says Tickle $2. And then and he's smoking a cigarette. So poor poor Elmo trying to overcome the funding issues with PBS. Comet Cowboys. Good stuff this year, I think.
Meemaw's run her last race. It was Governor Ivey. That was a big sign there with the glue. I didn't quite get that. What am I missing?
Well, Elmer's glue and some good stuff there. Let us know your favorite sign from the Comet Cowboys. 251-343-0106. Meanwhile, in Montgomery, they just kept it rolling, even for the representatives from down here. No respect for Mardi Gras. And they're getting rolling now, too, where quite a few pieces of legislation have made it all the way through and have headed to the governor's desk. Yesterday, the Highway Fairness Act. Have you heard of this one at all? I think it's very similar to some legislation that they've been able to pass in Florida, but the Alabama Senate...
Oh, it's got to do with the foreign drivers?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Speaking English. So yesterday, the Senate passed the Highway Fairness Act. This one sponsored by State Senator Lance Bell. And it would codify into state law federal highway safety and transportation regulations requiring individuals who have obtained a CDL from a foreign government to present valid proof of entry documentation to operate within the state. Said it would codify into state law regulations requiring individuals operating commercial vehicles be proficient in English, and it would also provide for penalties and impoundment procedures associated with violations. And here, Ash Wednesday, we know a few things about vehicles being impounded over the last few weeks, but this for the big rigs, for those who are breaking the law. The bill would create the offense of presenting a false foreign CDL and provide for penalties, and would create the offense of operating a commercial motor vehicle without proper documentation. Bell said the bill's goal was to, quote, get bad actors off the roads driving our 18-wheelers. Oh. He told reporters, we all know that 18-wheelers going up and down the road are very dangerous, and we've got to make sure that we don't have the bad actors there, and that we have people that are actually certified and able to drive that cargo from point A to point B. Not only does it help our citizens, it helps our businesses get the products like they're supposed to. You've got to have some form of English language speaking. So the bill now heads to the House for consideration.
Yeah, silly me. I'll never look at an 18-wheeler the same way that for years I would consider the 18-wheelers were the
better drivers.
The better drivers.
I thought the same.
They did it all the
time.
They did it all the time. They're in this bigger vehicle. They don't, you know, they would not drive aggressively, generally speaking. They're like good citizens of the road. That's the way I just always kind of considered them. Maybe, I don't know how long I've been
wrong. I thought the same thing forever. Like, they're out there the longest, the most time of anyone.
They could be tired, that you could have that kind of thing. But for the most part, they know the rules of the road. But this whole, in a state like Alabama, something needed to be done because we had that horrifying wreck in Thomasville. Mm-hmm. It was only, how many died in that?
I can't remember the total. It was at least a couple.
It was really,
and
really bad.
You had, you know, that was a Ukrainian driver with someone in the cab with him.
Yeah,
and
two people not paying attention.
Neither paying attention, and then just slamming into, you had four cars on both sides of the roadway, so eight total, and they just slammed right through them into that red light. That was absolutely awful. And, you know, seeing the fallout from that, but even so many other videos that you and I have watched in here, unfortunately, where you have a big rig driver who either causes or is part of a massive accident, and then when you have bystanders, you know, filming the things that happened after that accident, so often they hop out of the cab and they don't know a lick of English.
Don't know English. And well, the guy in Florida, that was really horrible, because he hops out of his vehicle. I don't know if he hopped out, but
that was one where he just pulled a random U-turn.
He
right?
pulled a U-turn, and you have this big rig now is across, you know, these lanes of traffic, and somebody zips right under his, you know, is killed instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems like he could give a care one way or the other because of the cam in the truck itself, which showed his reaction to it.
He was completely nonplussed. He was just sitting there.
It was incredible. Yeah. I don't know what tells us more, that we need to get this straight. Out in California, it seems like Newsom and the powers that be in California are fighting against all of this,
mm-hmm.
you know, wanting more foreigners on the road. I don't exactly know why that the left seems to be always for people who are committing acts that are harming U.S. citizens.
It's
just crazy.
Yeah, and you see that. It's like the pushback is, you know, from a lot of these states like California or Minnesota or New York. Like, they're pushing back just to push back.
Yes.
And not
they're
for
pushing
any...
back because Trump is the president of the United States, and that alone is enough.
I mean, you see it again
him off.
With this Kilmer Abrego Garcia, and you wonder, you know, how long are we going to be talking about this one person who was clearly involved in some illegal activities, you know, leading up to his arrest, whether or not that was done the right way or not. And that's what the debate is, right?
Right.
The legal debate. But you have the federal judge who ruled again yesterday that ICE can't re-detain Garcia because a 90-day detention period has expired and the government has no viable plan for deporting him. Well, remember, they did actually deport him before bringing him back.
Yeah, the Maryland
as ordered by a judge.
Flew in and had a beer with him or something.
Had
like
a margarita, down in El Salvador. So the Salvadoran Nationals case, he said, has become a focal point in the immigration debate when he was mistakenly deported to his home country last year. And since his return, he's been fighting a second deportation to a series of African countries that were proposed by DHS officials. But a Maryland judge, District Judge Paula Zenis, wrote yesterday, the government made one empty threat after another to remove him to countries in Africa with no real chance of success. From this, the court easily concludes there's no good reason to believe removal is likely in the reasonably foreseeable future. And you have Homeland Security Assistant Secretary Trisha McLaughlin, who's headed out, had that story last hour.
She's going to be resigning.
She's, no longer going to be with DHS, said if this matter were actually about the law or due process, Kilmer Abrego Garcia would already be deported and would never set foot in this country again. Judge Zenis will not be satisfied until he's authorized to live in the United States forever. So whether it's the trucking industry in California, or it's so many of these cases that have been overruled, court rulings that have been made by federal judges, it's almost like just because Trump wants it, we're going to push back and do our best to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Even on the European stage, it's left versus right. I mean, so Rubio had this excellent speech. You know, I talked to you about it before. I saw all the reviews that came in, and they're, you know, they're
glowing,
being praised, right? So I thought it was a really good speech. I didn't know it was, you know, one that would be highlighted 100 years from now. I don't know. But point is, he made the speech. It was well-received. It got a standing ovation. And on the other side of all that, also at that same conference, you had AOC criticizing some of the facts of his speech, where it turned out she was actually incorrect about the West and the way the Spaniards played a role in the West, because he was talking about Europe and America and some of the contributions to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes on to have her own moment that she would rather not ever have replayed, but if you go to YouTube, it's being replayed by nearly every conservative commentator out there. She is absolutely dreadful. So
was this when she was asked about Taiwan? Or
she was asked about Taiwan, and also what I noticed about this venue and this conference, it's almost kind of Bayfest in this way. You had the big acts on the big stages, Rubio. And you had some of these other smaller people with opinions, people who were people of note in the past, like Hillary Clinton, who didn't do herself any favors either.
No.
And AOC, who was in the room with maybe she was surrounded by a few reporters, and maybe the audience was 30 or 40 people.
Oh, wow.
So
she
was,
yeah, I've never heard the Munich Security Conference described as Bayfest, but that's probably perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. She was on the small stage.
Yeah.
And she was simply asked a question. It was just check it out, if you will. She was asked, what would the United States do if they are, if they're confronted with China attacking
going for Taiwan?
Taiwan.
Yeah.
And she's at a Security Council meeting. You might get asked that question.
Yeah.
You might want to have an answer ready to go. And she stumbled for about 20, 30 seconds. Were just she didn't have the answer. It was kind of a Kamala word salad. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, I heard that.
She criticizes Rubio, And people are calling that a fantastic speech. And in her own performance, she poops the bed.
Yeah, I guess we haven't seen her on the international stage much at all.
No.
As AOC, who many think would breeze through a Democrat primary for president. But she clearly still has a lot of work to do. And Republicans capitalizing. I know Vance was asked about that, and he absolutely destroyed her for her answer.
Yeah, that'll be in a lot of political clips for people running against her in the primary if it comes down to that. She'll get beat up by Democrats alone. It's 8:21.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
826 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Hope you had a great Fat Tuesday yesterday. Having a good Ash Wednesday so far today. If you made it to the church yet, you made it to Mass, get those ashes. If you forget, you're walking around. Usually it's today where people go, hey, why are people walking around with, you know, a little smudge on their head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
And make sure you get down there, too.
It's more than a smudge.
It is. Tobias and Comer Law, I know they had a great time this Mardi Gras season, and it was good seeing them last week, heading over to their office there on Dauphin Street and having another great conversation with them. If you missed that, it's uploaded on our podcast page, fmtalk1065.com, with the Law 251 podcast. And if you've been injured and need someone in your corner, turn to Tobias and Comer Law right here in Mobile. The local personal injury firm on Dauphin Street has been fighting for fair compensation for decades and helped and have helped. They are helping plenty of people just like me and you here locally. What sets them apart? Well, attorneys Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, and Lacey Smith handle your case personally from day one until it's resolved. No handing you off to strangers. They've got the experience to tackle everything from car crashes and boating mishaps to defective products, workplace injuries, and maritime claims. So check out their website. It's great, full of information, tobiascomerlaw.com, or you can call anytime for a free consultation, 251-432-5001. That's tobiascomerlaw.com.
Dan Yankee on the text line says, what about the shooting in downtown Mobile that wasn't Mardi Gras related? That was the statement from Chief Jackson. I think what he was saying was, it's in the middle of Mardi Gras season. It happened downtown, but on that Sunday night, Mardi Gras was long gone over. It was parades were all done and everything by 5 in the afternoon or so.
Yeah, because the last parade
11 o'clock at night.
Last parade rolled Sunday. It began rolling at 4:30, and it happened. But you're right, Damn Yankee. I mean, it happened right there, in the heart of downtown. It's where Mardi Gras takes place. Are the powers that be a little quick sometimes to try to say, hey, that was, you know, try to protect Mardi Gras. Hey, that wasn't a Mardi Gras shooting.
I think you're right. I think they do. But I think that they did kind of, I saw what they were trying to do.
It's not like somebody was shooting from a float into the crowd.
Nothing crazy like that. Yeah. But it did happen in the, where Mardi Gras happens. And it did happen on a day during Mardi Gras season.
Yeah, Joe Kane Day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, they're always pretty quick to kind of point, hey, that wasn't a Mardi Gras shooting. It just happened, you know, during Mardi Gras. Fire Dog says, being a Democrat used to be great. The mainstream media would cover up your word salad interviews to make you seem more competent and provide questions in advance. Now there are so many journalists in the internet pointing out just how dumb you are. Yeah, it was a tough look for AOC at the Munich Security Conference, of all places.
You might get asked about China and Taiwan.
Maybe. C.B. Carl says, back in the 70s, I put a girl on my shoulders at the Zulu parade in New Orleans so she could try to get a Zulu coconut. When she got one, she got so excited she beat me on the top of the head with it so hard it knocked me to my knees. Good story there from Carl.
That's quite a story.
Matt says, hey guys, if the comic cowboys aren't offending someone annually, they shouldn't exist. LOL, I'm always pleased when they bring some good stuff to the parade. And we have Butterknife, too. He's complaining about a piece of legislation that made it through at least one part of the session yesterday. We'll talk about that on the way next.
Getting your morning moving. Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
835 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Let us know what's going on over at McConnell Automotive right now. I know not only your selection of the new vehicles, which is amazing, but also anything out there pre-owned someone may be looking for, you've probably got a good bead on that as well.
That's right. Just first thing, want to thank everybody for coming by yesterday. Man, we were open, sold a few cars, got some great trades, and you know, it was a pretty day. I hope everybody had fun downtown, but we're going to put those cars on the website today. Mike's out here taking pictures right now, and man, we have got a great selection of pre-owned and new cars out here. Got a bunch of new trucks in. I mean, got that 0% on those half tons. Remember that? And we're going to be here all weekend. Like I said, I hope everybody had a great time. Mardi Gras over with. It's time to buy cars.
Yeah, it is that time, and you guys make it easy on the customer with no shenanigans, that's for sure. Louis, we appreciate it and hope you have a great day.
Hey, thank y'all.
All right, Louis Raddick, go see him. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
A little chatter on the text line about SB-71, a bill that would restrict Alabama's state agencies from implementing environmental safety laws past the it passed the state House of Representatives Tuesday. Like Dalton said, shocker, there was stuff going on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, Mobile had the day off, but up in Montgomery they were working. So it's referred to as the Sound Science Bill. It passed in the state Senate on the 3rd of February. Now it's passed the House, a vote of 68 to 34, but there has been some conversation about this, even a little filibuster for a while yesterday.
Yeah, and Sound Science. So you had, did you read the text from Butterknife? He said,
yeah.
He said SB 71 passed really makes Alabama look pathetic. And you know, looking at this bill, it's tough to, you know, I know Butterknife, he's very passionate about it, clearly, but they call it Sound Science, which, you know, you can never take exactly what a politician calls a bill and say, oh, that must mean what it is. The name of it must be what it does.
Not necessarily
always the case. So the bill reads, an agency, and this from 1819 News, so Erica kind of breaking it down here.
Yeah.
Republicans said the bill is a way to ensure that ADEM, the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, never adopts regulations like California. And we know a lot of the regulations they've put in over the years there, which are meant to be good for the environment, but have absolutely screwed a lot of Californians when it comes to their pocketbooks, right?
Yeah, well, and Trump just had the deregulation announcement earlier this week.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was either late last week or early this week. And it seems like a lot of the legislative session this year for Alabama, can I say running scared? You know, I know there are a lot of things that conservatives want to make sure that they're hardening their state and their laws against. But whether it's the Public Service Commission bill, which Chip Brown put out there because the Democrats were able to basically, you know, spin their way to winning a couple PSC seats in Georgia, and they're worried about that happening here in Alabama. It sounds like the reasoning behind this Sound Science bill, they're worried that what's happening in California could happen here. So Erica writes that, Republicans said the bill is a way to ensure ADEM never adopts regulations like California. And it in part reads, quote, an agency may not adopt a new rule or amend an existing rule that establishes new or changes existing numeric criteria or numeric limitations applicable to a chemical substance, mixture, contaminant, pollutant, hazardous substance, solid waste, hazardous constituent, or hazardous waste that relates to drinking water, water pollution control, hazardous substances, contaminated site remediation, air quality, solid waste handling, or hazardous waste handling if the new rule or amendment would result in criteria or limitations that are more stringent or extensive in scope, coverage, or effect than any federal law or regulation setting a standard regarding the same or a substantially similar topic. So that was, in legalese, a very long way to say, if the feds ain't abiding by it,
yeah,
we ain't abiding by it.
Yeah.
And so if the feds haven't put in a law that says this is illegal or legal, then Alabama, you're not going to be able to limit people from doing that. But the long legal wording of that, I love how they included hazardous constituent, because I'm sure some of the politicians in Montgomery feel that many of their constituents are hazardous, but this has to do with the actual making sure everything is safe. And you know, we think so often about the water down here and the mud dumping and how this would apply to that, because I don't know, that's been one of the biggest parts of the discussion we've had this session is whether or not this thin layer placement or the mud dumping, as it's called, how can we keep that from happening? And it's tied in with a lot of the federal regulations as well. I'm not sure that this sound science bill would affect that or not. But you also have State Representative Troy Stubbs. He filed the companion bill in the House, and he calls it a limited government bill. Quote, this bill provides a way in which the state of Alabama can pass its own regulations related to the environment in the event that the federal government does not address those particular matters. We will, in those cases, use generally accepted scientific practices and sound science rules to do that. So he's saying this is limited government.
Yep.
We can pass our own regulations, but the way Butterknife reads it, and I think many people find it the same way, said Republicans used to care about state rights. Now we choose to defer to a higher power.
Also, so Stubbs was talking about it in terms of it being affecting the cost of living. He says, my constituents are concerned with the cost of living. And he also said regulations drive the cost of living up. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting who is, you know, for the bill. That would include the United States Chamber of Commerce, not just the Alabama Chamber, but the United States Chamber of Commerce is for the bill.
They like this bill.
They like the bill. And then statewide, the organization Manufacture Alabama and other business industry groups in the state also argue that the bill provides consistency across states needed for businesses to operate. Nobody knows better what it's like. I'm just my own thoughts here. Nobody understands business better than business operators and owners. Yeah. They think it's business friendly, but there are people, certainly constituents or their citizens here that just are concerned that you don't want a runaway freight train where everything gets let under the, you know, everything's approved when you have things right in front of your eyes that concern you.
Yeah, and we see it down here in this part of the state probably more than any other part of the state.
It seems like this part of the state is the one that's very vocal about environmental concerns.
A lot of green conservatives, yeah. Right? A lot of conservatives, open, free market, they like it, but also we have limited water. We have limited green spaces, and it's trying to make the best of all that at the same time. Also, you know, with this weekend, you have the sales tax holiday for severe weather preparedness items. You know, yesterday, House Committee approved same kind of thing, but for guns and ammo. And I know this has been a topic of discussion for several years now, but House Committee approved HB 360. This will create a new annual Second Amendment sales tax holiday. And this will be during the last weekend of August going forward. The proposal would exempt firearms, ammunition, and hunting supplies from state sales and use tax. And they'll join this with the other tax holidays we have, back to school and severe weather. Again, the severe weather tax holiday coming up this weekend. The bill's fiscal note for the for the Second Amendment sales tax holiday, it estimates a $386,000 annual reduction to the Education Trust Fund, with local governments potentially losing another $506,000 if they opt in. State Representative Barbara Drummond voiced opposition, citing gun violence concerns. If approved by the House, the first holiday would run from August 28th through August 30th. So this looks like they're not going to have much of an issue getting that the rest of the way through, and you'll be able to save at least some on taxes on your guns and ammo. And then Chip Brown, who we've already talked about some this hour, with this seafood labeling law, and he was able to get that through. Was that, last year? The big year for that one?
I think it was last.
And he's continuing to add on to that legislation. So Monday, he said he filed legislation that further strengthens the existing seafood labeling law and forces restaurants to comply with its provisions or face severe penalties. I guess the main thing now is, even with that law having passed a year ago, you still don't have many restaurants abiding by letting folks know whether their
local
fish is domestic or brought in from somewhere else. Brown said, our current labeling law is designed to inform consumers and encourage restaurants to use seafood products harvested in the state, but too many owners are exploiting loopholes or simply refusing to follow its requirements. So he said, this legislation adds sharp teeth to the statute and includes strong penalties for restaurants that continue thumbing their noses at state law. It would automatically deduct, listen to this, so this is House Bill 444, automatically deducts 5 points from the state health department sanitation scores of any restaurant that is not in compliance with the labeling requirements.
Wow.
So now you're taking points off of their, Yeah, their score.
Yeah,
the,
I mean, the
you
one
have to
that's
post at the front of the.
It's available for all to see.
Yeah,
right?
Where everyone can take a look at it. It also authorizes the Alabama Department of Agriculture to genetically test the origin of restaurant seafood products to ensure they're in compliance. It removes signage as an option for disclosing the country of origin and requires restaurants to use that labeling on their menus. It requires the Department of Public Health to, quote, regularly inspect food service establishments to ensure they're in compliance. It requires the Department of Public Health to regularly and publicly publish the names and addresses of restaurants that are in violation. And again, this legislation would go into effect October 1st. It's been referred to the House Health Committee for consideration.
On the text line, what restaurants locally would you say are surefire that you go to this restaurant, sit down for a meal, and that their seafood is local?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've dumbed down my palate a little bit when it comes to that. I used to really be able to tell the difference between the fresh shrimp, for instance. I love shrimp. Then when the oil spill came, there was no fresh shrimp, and mm-hmm. I could taste it right away in restaurants that, wow, that's...
You could tell.
Yeah, you could tell because it had been frozen and things like that. So on the text line, let me know, what restaurants do you believe that when you go there to pick up to go or to sit down and dine, that you're going to get fresh seafood, period, mm-hmm. where you don't even have to consider... Are there any restaurants that could guarantee that? I don't know.
Yeah, and has the tech gotten better, like for the international seafood? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you hear horror stories of how some of these fish that you would get are farmed, or how some of the shrimp are farmed elsewhere, and you really can't even think about it if you're about to eat a plate of shrimp that comes from somewhere else.
Sure.
But I don't know, has the tech gotten better to where it's harder to tell if you're eating?
Well, for instance, maybe.
Bad seafood?
Well, so I got into the habit of purchasing frozen shrimp mm-hmm. at a grocery chain because it's convenient.
Yeah.
You know, you can seal it up. You know, there's only one of me there. So
yeah, just thaw it out and you're good to go.
Good to go. And it's been suffice. But I think that I'd like to know. I'd like to go somewhere where I know that it's going to be fresh shrimp, fresh seafood. I know for sure, mm-hmm. so I can dive into it and see if I can tell a difference, you know, what the freshness tastes like.
Might need to do a taste test here on Mobile Mornings.
That'd be wonderful.
We'll bring out some fresh Gulf seafood.
I'll make the Alfredo sauce.
You can you can take part. Chris in Orange Beach says Tin Top in Bonsecur. You're good there. Michael says the Lighthouse is definitely local, and then says all of those crazy crab boil places are 100% foreign. I think I know some of the places you're talking about there, Michael. So a couple texts on that. 251-343-0106. Jerry from Fort Morgan says if the Chamber of Commerce is for it, you should know that it's bad. They're also fine with mud dumping, he says. Texter here says we might need a couple of Democrat PSC seats, Public Service Commission. He said they can't be any worse than the ones we've had. Jason sends a video. I haven't been able to check this one out yet, but he says Bo Duke lives. So I'm now very interested in seeing what's on that video. And Jason says, Mr. Ledbetter showed us the clear difference between Dems and Republicans. You'd never hear a Dem be so dismissive and disrespectful of their party. They stick together under all circumstances. He's referencing this Republican drama that's been going on here
with the leaked
over these
audio
last few days. Yeah, so you have Chip Brown, who we were just talking about, his seafood labeling law. He is taking over as the GOP's interim majority leader in the state house because Scott Stathagen is running for ALGOP chairman, a seat that has been forfeited by John Wall, who's running for lieutenant governor. It's all very circuitous how this is all working out.
Right.
But
dominoes.
While they were having this House Republican caucus meeting over the weekend, I believe it was over the weekend, you had Scott Stathagen, who's stepping out. They were having this meeting, and they were initially talking about the Public Service Commission bill, which was all the rage this last 6-7 days.
Yes.
The discussion around that. Well, it turned to Stathagen and whether he should be allowed to be majority leader while he is running for ALGOP chairman. I guess there have been some folks, according to the Alabama Political Reporter's Bill Britt, who wrote an article defending Nathaniel Ledbetter, the House Speaker, because there was some leaked audio with Ledbetter saying he could give a blank about the Republican Party and that elected leaders should, quote, stay together as a family. So it sounds like you had Ledbetter and some of these others in the House who weren't happy with Stathagen holding majority leader title, holding the title of majority leader while running for the ALGOP. Then you have this selective audio that was ripped from their meeting that looked poorly for House Speaker Nathaniel Ledbetter. All this drama going on, and now you have Chip Brown, who is taking over as interim majority leader. So Jason, as he was texting in earlier, he said, Mr. Ledbetter showed us the clear difference between Dems and Republicans. You'd never hear a Dem be so dismissive and disrespectful of their party. We'll talk with Jeff Poor on the other side of this break. Hopefully we'll be able to get with him, and he'll be able to kind of break some of that down for us.
Yeah, and the irony is that Stathagen, right in the middle of all this, and it's usually from Stathagen's, from his office where Jeff will do his reporting from. He lets him use his office to send a signal to us.
Yeah, we'll see if Jeff is in that office today or what the plan is. He'll join us here in just a minute. Before that, we'll go to the break and Moon Pie Minute. This Rennie Brabner Moon Pie Minute,
nice.
We play it every year to wrap us up for Ash Wednesday. It's brought to you by the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Here it is, the Moon Pie Minute for Ash Wednesday and Rennie Brabner.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton. Jeff Poor up at the Capitol. And Jeff, what was your take on the Comet Cowboys variety of signs yesterday?
Let's see. Try that again.
There we go. Yeah. Now I got you, yeah.
Okay. Dan, wondering your take on the Comet Cowboys signs yesterday.
I feel like they're getting a little bit of their swagger back. Remember, they were kind of, hey, you guys need to stop that.
Yeah.
That is not proper. And it was kind of, hit or miss the last few years. But I think they've taken it in a direction that's still risque without offending a lot of people.
Okay. All right. I thought they were pretty funny.
Yeah.
Things are not as
jovial.
Laughable. jovial at the Capitol. Explain what's going on.
So, if you keep up with this, and it was kind of covered by the state media, but the then state House Majority Leader, Scott Stathagen, declared his candidacy for the ALGOP chairman.
Yes.
Then when he got back here to Montgomery after that declaration, there was questions about a conflict of interest, and it got kind of heated. And then I guess he stepped aside temporarily to pursue this. And they had Chip Brown, a friend from Hollinger's Island, step in and take the helm for temporarily an interim basis, I guess. Well, last night, and then this comes after some audio that was leaked in a caucus meeting and a quote unquote emergency caucus meeting on Thursday. But last night, Representative Stathagen said he's not going to pursue being a House Majority Leader anymore and has completely stepped aside. And there's a little bit of backlash this morning. I'll be curious to see how this plays out today. But today, guys, there'll be I am told, an election for Majority Leader. The two names that have emerged as the potential candidates are Chip Brown, who's the vice chair, and Paul Lee from Dothan. He's a doctor, does a lot of good work there, but those are your two candidates.
Yeah, so leaked audio. I mean, this all sounds rather dramatic for what hasn't to this point been a very dramatic legislative session.
It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be the fourth year of a quadrennium. I guess the question I would have, if I could ask these guys, but to be real careful here, it's a very sensitive subject, but why not just finish out the quadrennium, and in 6, 7, 8 months you could have a new majority leader election, and no one has to face this kind of drama as we head into an election cycle.
Wild. Well, we'll be listening to your show for all the latest on that. And you have a bunch of interviews coming up today as well. I know Joey Clark will get you started here at the top of the show, but who else do you have coming on today?
We got our friend Donnie Givens from Loxley will make time for us. Carrie Underwood from the Shoals will be on. We're still working on a 10:30 guest. That could be anybody. But Sam Gavan, state senator from Huntsville, at the 11 o'clock hour. And my friend Erica Thomas, my colleague at 1819 News, closes out.
Years ago, I interviewed Carrie Underwood. We talked about her brilliant smile.
Yeah, well, the Super Bowl, the Sunday Night Football intro.
Yeah, that's it. Have a great show, Jeff.
Thanks.
Good to have Jeff back. Now give him your attention and text 251-343-0106. More Mobile Mornings. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. And Sean live from the waterfront at noon today, followed by Scuttlebutt at 1. Stay tuned.